This is Radio Superior 1950, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes in Superior, Wisconsin. Jack McKenna here. It's Wednesday, April 5th, 1950. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news, Rapid Ray the sports, Harriet with What's at the Movies. We've got the music of Rosemary Clooney, The Weavers, Marty Robbins, and more.
It's always the same thing. The same news, the same sports, the same movies, a few songs. Always the same routine.
Okay, Mr. Cheery Face.
What's cheery about the winter that never ends?
Looks like someone we know and love has a bad case of cabin fever. Well, we'll try to cheer up the old newsman, folks.
Calling me old will not help matters.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Newberry's Department Store with pre-Easter values, including children's bunny slippers for just 29 cents. Maybe Lou could use a pair. Good evening, Lou.
Evening. A Senate committee is told that there are no communists in the State Department. Cigarette firms are reprimanded by the government. And we have election results from yesterday. We begin our report from Washington.
This is Washington. Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. The chairman of the State Department's loyalty board says the board knows of no communists in the department. Conrad Snow told a Senate Foreign Relations subcommittee investigating charges by Republican Senator Joe McCarthy of Wisconsin that the department is a haven for the communists and their friends. Quote, if there are any communists in the State Department, the loyalty security board is uninformed of their existence. End quote. Snow and Chairman Seth W. Richardson of President Truman's loyalty review board were called before the committee in a phase of hearings that is expected to reach its climax. The Johns Hopkins University professor, whom McCarthy charges is a top Russian agent, Owen Lattimore, will testify tomorrow. Lattimore has called Senator McCarthy's charges a lie. By the time Mr. Lattimore takes the stand, the committee hopes to have, from McCarthy, papers he says he has to back up his charges against Lattimore. McCarthy has promised to go through his files and select materials that he considers valuable. McCarthy has accused Lattimore, an expert on Far Eastern affairs, of being Russia's top spy in the State Department and the United States. He also told the Senate last week that he can produce mystery witnesses who will swear that Lattimore is a present or past Communist Party member. Mr. Lattimore has called the charges an unmitigated lie and McCarthy a, quote, madman for making them. Maryland Democratic Senator and Committee Chairman Tidings wrote McCarthy yesterday that the group wants all information which he has dealing with the investigation. The committee took that action after McCarthy had indicated that he did not intend to give up his Lattimore material. He already turned it over to Federal Bureau of Investigation Director J. Edgar Hoover. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
This is Alfred M. Schock in San Francisco. CIO Longshoremen Union's Harry Bridges laid plans to carry to the Supreme Court the fight against their leader's conviction on a charge that he lied to conceal he was a communist. Bitterly assailing yesterday's verdict of a federal court jury, the union's officers mapped a strategy that would counter moves to cancel Bridges' citizenship and have him deported to Australia. But Special Government Prosecutor F. Joseph Donahue, in a stormy 81-day trial, says he felt certain the higher court would find no basis for a reversal. Donahue expressed belief that Bridges' conviction of committing perjury at his 1945 naturalization hearing would result in automatic canceling his citizenship. From Sydney, Australia, whence Bridges shipped out in 1920 for a tumultuous career as a labor leader in the United States, came word by immigration officials that he probably would be allowed to return there if ordered deported. In San Francisco, this is Alfred M. Schock, your correspondent.
This is Jack Bell in Washington. The government today ordered a crackdown on what is called false and misleading advertising by some major cigarette makers. The Federal Trade Commission directed two of the largest companies to halt claims that one brand of cigarette is superior to another. The cease and desist orders were against R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, makers of Camel's cigarettes, and P.J. Lorillard Company, producers of Old Gold. The FTC says it is considering similar action against the American Tobacco Company and its Lucky Strike cigarettes, as well as Philip Morris and their cigarettes. In announcing its actions, the commission said, quote, all cigarettes contain varying amounts of nicotine and throat irritants, and there is no fact in advertising claims that one brand is superior to another in these respects, end quote. The FTC's action against the cigarette makers was an outgrowth of proceedings started in August 1942. Its order that Camel's and Old Gold's halt what FTC found to be false and misleading advertising is a final decision, but the companies may appeal to the courts. The agency asserted that this was proved by a series of tests made by the Food and Drug Administration at the request of the Trade Commission. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
KUWS Radio News Time is 6:06. Jack McKenna has this message from Newberry's.
Thank you, Lou. Newberry's pre-Easter values. That's what we're talking about, folks, here. Here's ladies' slippers in this sale for 79 cents a pair. Or I suppose you could buy one for just half. Ladies' nylon hose, a pair, $1. Just think, it wasn't long ago you couldn't get nylon hose, ladies. Now they're $1 pair. And men's spring ties, latest spring patterns and colors. $1 for a necktie, huh? How about that? Work clothes, oh yeah, they're available at downward prices. Men's t-shirts, just 59 cents, folks, in small, medium, and large. How about a boy's t-shirt? Well, I'm glad you asked. 69 cents for those with fancy stripes, new spring color, sizes 4 to 8. Children's bunny purses, aw, aren't they cute? Cute little girl's purse made in the shape of a cute little bunny. Colors pink, white, and blue. Just 29 cents. And look at here, folks. Rubber pants, 25 cents a pair. Where does all this goodness end? Well, it ends right now. From J.J. Newberry Company, in Superior.
Well?
Well, what?
Are you done?
I stopped talking, didn't I?
Which is a news story in itself.
Boy, you sure are grumpy. But I understand.
I particularly hate it when you understand. I also hate it when you don't give me a cue after your advertisement.
You know, you sound peeved.
It's been a pet peeve of mine for years. It's simple. Everyone else does it. Just say Lou. That's all I ask.
Okay, here goes. Lou!
Thank you, Jack. Voters return incumbents to the city council as the Common People Citizens Committee took a beating in yesterday's election. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports.
Good evening, Lou.
If you say so.
Ooh. Councilman Clyde Thomas and Richard Wheaton were returned to the Superior City Council by voters, and independent H. Willis Brace, Jr. was the lone newcomer elected. Thomas and Wheaton were backed by the Civic Improvement League. The Common People Citizens Committee, which dominated the elections in 1949, took it on the chin this year. All three of its candidates finished out of the running. Councilman A.D. Wheeldon did not seek re-election. The big question now is if Councilman George Erickson is reelected by the council as its president. And Superior voters turned thumbs down on a referendum about pay not to exceed $40 a month for city councilmen. So the council will continue to work for free. City Clerk R.E. McKegg says of the 17,500 people eligible to vote, less than 8,000 cast ballots, Lou.
People don't care enough to vote. In other elections in Spooner, Walter Meacham was returned as mayor. E.L. Harmon was elected new mayor of Hayward, defeating incumbent Frank Smith by a narrow margin. Mayor Irving Hadland was returned to office by Bayfield voters with 192 votes. Mayor Hadland had no opposition. Carrying five of six wards, Washburn Mayor Hans Thompson defeated veteran Councilman Albert Swanson. Washburn Police Chief J.D. Manning was also elected constable. Ashland City Council President Fred Yuki was re-elected, as were Harry Van Gelder and Percy Emerson. The trio have held office since Ashland's voters decided to go to a city council, city manager form of government 2 years ago. The town of Roosevelt and Blaine in Burnett County voted yes to make selling liquor legal, while the town of Daniels voted to stay dry. That's the news, Jack.
What? No cheery kicker story? No human or dog interest story to end the news?
Dog interest story?
Well, people like dog stories. Maybe if you had more dog stories, you wouldn't feel so blue. Cabin Fever, Lou Martin. The newsman Fido can rely on. Here's something to cheer you up, buddy. A bright sun greeted Superiorites today and brought renewed hope that overdue spring weather is coming. But the weatherman warned against over-optimism. It will be fair, all right, but it will be chilly, with a low of just 10 above tomorrow, rising to an expected high of 42 above. Not bad. Temperatures were in the 70s over many eastern states yesterday and reached 80 in Washington.
I want to go to Washington. I'm sick of snow and no leaves on the trees and ice and having windows closed.
Well, so much for cheering him up, folks. Maybe this will do it. Here's a new one from Rosemary Clooney and Come On to My House on the Martin and McKenna Cabin Fever Show.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and dates and grapes and cakes, eh? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you marriage ring and the pomegranate, do I? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you peach and pear and I love your hair. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you east side. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything, everything, everything. Come on to my house.
Rosemary Clooney and Come On to My House on KUWS. Hey friends, Public Market has Easter hams specially priced just for you. They bake them to order and give you a deli cut of the 12 to 16 pound hams. And don't forget, tomorrow is Bakery Day at Public Market. Get 2 dozen fresh cookies for just 29 cents and hot buns for 30 cents a dozen. At Public Market, 1008 Tower Avenue, Superior. Boy, that sounds like something to cheer up Lou. Hot buns and ham.
I tell you, that's a perfect description of you.
We'll figure out something to cheer the old guy up.
Stop calling me old.
Let's listen to the Weavers and Good Night Irene on the Martin and McKenna Hot Buns and Ham Show.
Saturday night I got married. Me and my wife settled down. Now me and my wife are parting. I'm gonna take another stroll downtown.
You're gambling. Stop staying out late at night. Go home to your wife and family. Stay there by your fireside bright.
And so they fade off into the moonlight. The Weavers end Good Night Irene on station KUWS. Now, with the sports, here's Rapid Ray.
Hey, partner. That's not much of an introduction. What gives?
Lou's got cabin fever, and I think it's spreading.
A case of the wintertime never-ends blues, huh? Is he restless?
He's fidgeting like crazy.
Irritable?
You don't know irritable until you've seen Lou lately.
Shrinks say bad cases of cabin fever can lead to bullying at work.
That's Lou, the big bully.
Well, let me think on that. Hiya, fans of the sporting world. The Minneapolis Lakers and the Anderson, Indiana Packers square off in the National Basketball Association semifinal playoffs tonight. Lakers coach Johnny Kundla says it's up to his big three men, George Mikan, Vern Mikkelson, and Jim Pollard. Kundla is also plugging the hole created by the injury of Tony Jaros by installing former Superior Central star Harry Bud Grant into the playoffs. Man for man, the Boston Red Sox are the best team in baseball as spring training winds down in Florida and Arizona. 2 years in a row, the jinxed Red Sox lost the pennant on the last day of the season. But this year, manager Joe McCarthy says his boys will go all the way. How can you pick against a club with Ted Williams and Vern Stevens? Both drove in 159 runs last year. Not combined, but each. Dom DiMaggio in center, Bobby Doerr at second, Johnny Pesce at third, and Bertie Tibbetts catching. In the Citrus League, some veteran pitchers are struggling. Cleveland's Bob Feller is no longer the fireballer of yore. He gave up 12 runs and 14 hits in his last outing, which lasted six innings. And famous Tiger ace Hal Newhouser is at least temporarily sidelined with a mysterious arm ailment. Finally, fans, the largest field on record will play at the ultra-exclusive Augusta National Golf Course. The 14th annual Masters Golf Tournament has sent out just 110 invitations to the best of the best, including national champions, other major tournament winners, and those who finished near the top. So far, 68 have registered to compete. the largest field ever at Augusta. The favorite, even with an ailing back, it's Slammin' Sammy Snead. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Jake?
Any ideas about curing Lou's cabin fever come to you?
Well, let's get out the board games. Nothing like a fun game of Monopoly to break the monotony.
I don't think so. I can see it now. Lou lands on my boardwalk with hotels on it. I'd prefer his cabin fever to that. But thanks, Ray. Here's the Ames Brothers and you on the Big Bully Martin and McKenna Show. James Brothers and you, that's all just three U's, on station KUWS.
Nice lyrics. You.
I'm expecting a bah humbug any second.
Ames Brothers, how do you know they were even brothers?
I miss the big band.
Goodness, what's wrong with Louis?
I know the words. Jeez,
oh, Louis, sweetie pie, you're supposed to introduce me now.
You mean Grumpy Puss?
I guess I can't do anything right these days. Here's Harriet Farrick.
With?
With society news.
Oh, goodness. He's got it bad.
He's not his usual fun-loving Grumpy. He's grumpy.
Well, there's nothing like a good flicker to cheer a body up. Here's a triple feature. Goodness, it says it's unbelievable. Barbaric, sensationally savage shockers. Wild men of the Kalahari. Naked man and the beast, land sakes.
Naked man and the beast, and land sake.
Stop interrupting. Land sakes isn't a movie.
And African big game. All three are at People's Theater, the Friendly Family Theater.
Sounds like good family entertainment to me.
The Beacon is showing the story of a boy, a girl, and a golden horse. Everybody likes a good outdoor story, and this is one of the best, the Palomino. And they have a Donald Duck colored cartoon, plus newsreels at the Beacon Theater with a late show tonight at 10 o'clock. And playing at the Palace Theater is the story of Seabiscuit with Shirley Temple and Barry Fitzgerald. It has romance and excitement, and it's in Technicolor, Lewis.
Bunch of horse movies. I'm not in the mood.
Whew. Thanks, Harriet. Maybe this will cheer Lou up. This is new from Marty Robbins on the Martin and McKenna Show.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
Robbins and a white sport coat on station KUWS. All right, Harriet, you've got to save the day before the Lou we know and love is forever changed into old grumpy puss.
There's nothing wrong with me that a little decent weather won't cure, but it's still cold out and I'm tired and oh boy.
Oh, poor Louis. It's no fun being a sour puss, is it?
No.
Well, let me help you turn that frown upside down. Ray and Jack will help, too.
I still think Monopoly would be fun. But you know what gets me out of a funk? Hot cocoa and a game of cards.
I don't know. If he has to go fish, or is the old maid, look out. Here's my ideas. Color in coloring books. Or we could play Hide and Seek, or Mother May I.
Now that's the dumbest.
Oh, Lewis, Jack is just trying to help.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help. You don't have to bite my head off. And if you keep frowning like that, your face will stay that way.
I know what Lewis likes, and I've got what he likes.
Harriet!
We can have an indoor picnic.
Oh, now you're talking.
Hard-boiled eggs, Limburger cheese, liverwurst.
That's awful.
I've got your favorite, Lewis. Deviled eggs and ham and cheese sandwiches.
The good cheese?
American cheese, Jack.
Oh, well.
I brought a big quilt we can spread out on the floor, too.
Any brownies?
I made a big pan of brownies with nuts on them just for you.
A picnic would be fun.
How about a taffy pull?
Now you're stretching it.
That's the idea. We'll be back same time, same place, on your radio dial, friends. The good Lord willing, and brownies turn Lewis's frown upside down. For Lou, Ray, and Harriet, this is Jack McKenna wishing you a good night. Hey, I got an idea.
Uh-oh.
We can pop some popcorn and play a game of guessing what the pieces look like.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Have a deviled egg, Lewis.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1950, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by John Munson and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1950 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.